servant, and I am listening. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me.
Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God presented to you by the Macarius Church Headquarters. This great teaching provides clear and straightforward answers for anyone desiring to walk according to the Word of God. Enjoy some of the most comprehensive and down-to-earth teachings as taught at the Macarius Church Headquarters.
I am listening, I am waiting, speak to me.
Wow, your clapping is so official. You are clapping like some official, diplomatic, like, oh, that, you know, it's like your voice, oh, that looks good. Like some, it's okay, I mean, yeah, he's tried. It's like, your clapping is like, oh, okay, he has tried. I mean, he has done something, yeah. But we have also been doing our own things elsewhere. Your clapping feels so almost insulting, you know. Now, I don't want to say so many things about your clapping and your method of celebrating your excitement. Wow. Fantastic. Fantastic. Just lift your hand and pray for this servant of the Lord. Even in our own little corners where we are trying to serve God, it's not easy for us. Your own obedience to the things that God even has written in the Word is not easy for us. And yet see a man loving God, going everywhere, making songs, writing books, preaching messages, organizing them in libraries. Oh yes. Father, bless your servant. Thank you for his life. We pray for grace. We pray for strength. We pray for health. We pray for protection. Oh yes. Likura mashinde nebre kolaria tisele. Zomre ta frandola grade chele nebosa. Let the anointing continue to increase. Let it continue to bless many. Marundi chemia sofali nene. Zie kifala moshifia mazagale. Oncha mika fali neso biavile karade. Blessed be God. Father, thanks a million for your servant and for what you are using him to do in our generation. We pray that you continue to bless him with life and strength and prosperity to be able to continue what you have put in his heart, what you have written in your word. We thank you. And for all of us who are his children, birthed from his spiritual loins, we pray that you will grant us grace to also support this work and be part of this movement and be part of this great vision. We thank you. And I pray for everyone here and all those who are in this family that, Lord, you continue to strengthen our hands, to strengthen his hands. Prosper us to prosper the work. Bless us to bless the work. Give us life so we can also lend a helping hand in every way possible. We thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a big hand clap and take your seat. Thank you very much. That is a blessing. That is a blessing. At the end of the service, we have to shout, sing a happy birthday, which is something we can just do, and then we will give a big shout. You people, we don't celebrate birthdays, your birthdays, and you are making a very big mistake. You see, it's a way of saying thank you to God for bringing me into this world. Even if you don't have money, just buy one bottle of Fanta, call some friends, and then get these communion wine glasses. The one we use here, small, everybody, small. They're like you are taking communion. And then you celebrate and say, I want to thank God for my life, for Him giving me strength and life. Don't just let the day pass. It's like, look, I don't have anything to say thank you for. Even that you are still around, there's so much you can do with your life. So we thank God for the life of Bishop Dagwood Mills and for God adding one more year to his life. And this morning, we have a very nice man of God to preach to us today. Yes. Very powerful. And, hey, by the way, last week, I realized that the mothers really liked the gift they were given. And we want to thank God for all those who made such things possible for our mothers to have a special celebration. So God bless all our mothers and future mothers. May God give us more mothers in the house. In the name of Jesus. Wonderful. So this morning we have our own Bishop David Asomeni coming to preach to us. So I want you to please stand up on your feet and welcome this specialist gynecologist, 10 pastor, to preach the word. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Bishop. Lift your hands in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord for this gift. Bless the Lord for the gift of life. Bless the Lord for what He has used our prophet, our father, to do in your life. You become established in church. Thank Him. Lift your voice and thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. We bless your holy name, Father. We thank you. Yes, Lord. We give you praise. We honor you. We honor you. We say thank you. To you be the glory and to you be the praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. Sing Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome. your voice and worship and thank Him. So Holy Spirit, have your way in our midst. We bless your holy name. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Put your hands together. Please take your seats in the presence of the Lord. Thank you so much, Bishop Eddie. Good to have you back, Bishop Eddie, with us. We've missed you. And what a day to celebrate our founder, Sunday, 19th May. We are celebrating it in the UD, honoring our founder and our prophet, Bishop Dagwood Mills. It was interesting when a good place to clap. It's a good place to clap. And when I thought about what I was going to share, then I realized an amazing coincidence. Because today, Sunday 19th May, is also Pentecost Sunday, which is exactly 7 weeks after Easter. And as in celebrated worldwide. And on a day like this where we are honoring our Father, I want to talk about the honor and the anointing. The honor and the anointing. From the very powerful book written by our founder and our prophet, who has written lots and lots of books. This is called The Anointed and His Anointing. I believe that the documentary and Bishop Eddie sharing with us, you see, the message has really been preached. But I just want to take us home with the word of God. Let's start reading from Mark chapter 6 verses 1 to 5. Point number 1. Just a couple of points and then we go home. Where the anointing is not honored, it does not work. That's the first point. Where the anointing is not honored, it does not work. Mark chapter 6 verses 1 to 5. Mark chapter 6. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, "From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this a carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them," and obviously went away. So here was Jesus arriving in his hometown and preaching powerfully, because the people said that he spoke words of wisdom and he did mighty works. They acknowledged. But they did not honor him. Rather, they referred to his brothers, he, Jesus, as a carpenter, Mary, his mother, and his sisters. And Jesus himself spoke something very powerful there. Give us verse 4 in New Living Translation. Mark chapter 6 verse 4. Then Jesus told them, "A prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family." So if you are a relative, if you are in the hometown of a prophet, or if you are part of the family, even church family of a prophet, you are in danger of falling into this category of dishonor, or people who dishonor. And that's why we are teaching about honor today. Because, you know, when I look at Jesus' brothers, their names are mentioned there. I don't know really what became of Simon and the other one, Joseph. But James, whose name is mentioned, let's go to John chapter 7. I'll show you something else about Jesus' brothers. John chapter 7, verse 3. John chapter 7, verse 3. So it will show us that it was not only the people in the hometown who didn't believe in Jesus, but even his brothers did not believe in him. So it says, his brethren therefore said unto him, let's start from verse 1. Give us a background. It's talking about a feast. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. For he would not walk in Judea because the Jews also killed him. Verse 2. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. Verse 4. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. Verse 5. For neither did his brethren believe in him. So here they were trying to instruct him as to how to go about his ministry. Now go to this place and do the ministry there. They didn't believe in him. But you know, teaching and time and the revelation of the power of God can do things to people. That's how come one of the guys, his name was James, later on actually became the president of a council which was held in AD 50 over the Jews and, you know, whether the Gentiles would be circumcised. And he became the president in Acts chapter 15, and he spoke and he wrote the book of James. And when he was introducing himself in the book of James chapter 1 verse 1, look at it in James chapter 1 verse 1. He says, James chapter 1 verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now his honor had changed. He had now recognized Jesus, and he would not even be able to call himself a brother of Jesus. He's now calling himself a servant of Jesus Christ. And Jude as well. In Jude chapter 1 verse 1. Because Jude also became an apostle. And in Jude 1 verse 1, he even introduces himself. He says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. So he acknowledges that James is his brother, but his brother Jesus, he's not in the same category as Jesus is. So he says, I am a servant of Jesus Christ and James is my brother. Beautiful. So you too, your honor level can change. That's why we are teaching about honor. You see, because I'll tell you something. Honor, or if you like, the devil, his agenda is anti-honor. In fact, all that the devil is doing is trying to bring down the anointing, the power of God, men of God. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 5. I'll show you some. Zechariah chapter 3. The book of Zechariah chapter 3. Because, and he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Give us another version. So say, I need to accuse him or to oppose him. Verse 2. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Verse 3. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. And so you see, Joshua stands for Christians. Joshua stands for the men of God. That's it. It's a high priest. And look at what is happening. Satan is standing at his right hand to say all manner of things against him, to resist him, to oppose him. Because when he says those bad things about him and the man of God comes to stand there with a microphone, you will not believe in him. You don't receive him. Meanwhile, the angel of the Lord was standing there, and the angel of the Lord saw that Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. Next verse. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. Ladies and gentlemen, Satan is into bringing down, accusing, opposing, resisting. God is into restoring. God is into elevating. God is into honoring. God didn't say his garments were not filthy. He said, I agree that his garments were filthy. In other words, it's a human being who is standing before you. It's not an angel.
That's right.
He has faults. But what do you see when you look at him? Do you see the anointing? Do you see the power of God? Or you see the filthy garments that he's wearing? What about your garments that you are wearing as well? Have you looked at them? Next verse. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before them, and they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Oh yes. So God is showing us today. That's why Bishop Eddie talked about birthdays. When you have a birthday, you are honoring God for giving you life. Yes. You're honoring for giving you life. And that's why it's important to have anniversaries. And God even instituted memorials and feasts. So that on your wedding anniversary, you can take your wife out and tell her that I thank you that you married me, and to honor her as well. You do that. Yes. Hallelujah. Jesus was heavily anointed. He was so anointed that he could raise the dead, cleanse lepers, walk on water, rebuke storms, and speak great prophecies. But the anointing simply did not work in Nazareth, where he was not honored. Familiarity and dishonor are a great neutralizer of the anointing. You would have thought that Jesus, the Bible says his name alone, Christos, is the anointed one. So he is anointing himself. Even he could not break through the dishonor of the people. That should tell you that it's a big neutralizer of the anointing. But God is teaching you today to honor the anointed. Amen. Amen. He says, I know a famous healing evangelist who is greatly admired outside his own country. He's a hero to many. Entire cities will gather to hear him. But in his own country, where he is not honored, he will struggle to have 2,000 people listening to him. That's why we are teaching today. Number two. Honoring the anointing is an obligation and a legal requirement. Honoring the anointing is an obligation and a legal requirement. Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. This is King James, so let's move to New Living Translation, so that the communicate doesn't confuse you. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. New Living Translation. Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Change the version. New American Standard Bible. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. You see, when we talk about honor, there are many ways to honor. In the powerful book, Those Who Honor You, a prophet teaches us that even by recognizing that the man is anointed, is one level of honor. And then hearing him gladly is another way to honor. But here we are also shown a way by which you can honor the man of God who is teaching you. And therefore, when it comes to the prophet, as we are honoring the prophet today, it should be something you can do. That for all the teachings, the books that you have been taught, that have been written by him, you will say, I have some good things. And please, let them be good things. Because one day I heard of a man of God who went to, now I think he went to visit some members. And the lady said, oh, we'll offer you something to eat. But when they had offered that food to the cat, it vomited. So, I don't know whether they wanted him to prove the word of God that says that even if you eat poison, it shall not harm you. How can you give food that you have given to the cat and it vomited to a man of God to eat? Please, it's in the church growth manual. I can show you which volume it is. Hey! Verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So if you sow honor, you shall also reap honor. If you honor the man of God by sharing good things with him, you also receive honor. Please, wake him up. It's not honorable. So when somebody is preaching and you sleep, it's not honorable because you are supposed to receive the word gladly. You see, and I'm saying that there's a phenomenon of decreasing honor. In other words, if we are not active in teaching honor, and we just sit down, even the law of degeneration itself will make sure that the honor goes down and down and down until it is hardly perceptible. So I read here that the decreasing honor is a natural progression you can expect in a church. Are you with me? A pastor is less and less appreciated as the years go by. His gifts, his talents, and his great leadership are taken for granted as the years go by. Everyone expects good things, proper things, and nice things as that has been the standard they have experienced for many years. Also, as the years go by, the natural weaknesses, deficiencies, personality traits, and temperament of the anointed become more pronounced or more obvious to the congregation. This can lead them to think that there's not much to the anointed pastor because he has the traits of an ordinary human being. When Jesus walked amongst us, he dined among his disciples and slept among them on many occasions. He must have also used the toilet on many occasions. Over time, Jesus' natural trait must have been obvious. Leaders were declined in the honor, respect, and appreciation that the servant of God receives. That's how come Judas was able to betray him. Especially when Jesus started talking about, I'll be arrested, I'll be slapped, and I'll be crucified. Then Judas and the rest said, no, the man is not as anointed as he was in the beginning. No, when he turned water into, we're like, wow, this is the Messiah, this is the man. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, we're like, now we are ready to go and overcome the Romans, because even if the soldiers die when we are fighting against them, he will resurrect them and they will fight again. But when he began to see that Jesus could fall asleep in the boat, tired, and maybe, I don't know, I'm sure Martha's food was good, but I don't think they always ate Martha's food. So maybe they ate somebody else's food and then ran his stomach. So Jesus will be there. So please. So the honor decreases. But I want us to become a people of increasing honor. How do we arrest the trend of decreasing honor
and move into increasing honor. I read it to you. A trend of increasing honor in the church can only come about by teaching the subject, emphasizing the word of God, and leading the congregation to appreciate the gift of God in their midst. That's why Bishop Eddie was saying that our clap was not even, it's almost insulting. Because I can tell you that when we show this same clip in the next service, Uncomfortable Fire service, you will see jubilation clapping. Oh. But you are changing in the name of Jesus. Your honor is increasing in the name of Jesus. Receive the word of God. It says most people simply do what they are taught. Without teaching, the congregation will not improve their appreciation. You know, I was talking to somebody who came from a country with a great man of God. He went there probably maybe about 100 years ago and set up two large churches. But you see, that man of God is now forgotten in that country. And his churches do not have the semblance of how he began them. Because he was a powerful man of God with healings and planting churches and all that. But the churches, you see, when you do not follow the person that God has given you. Because Paul says something, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. Because many of us, especially those of us who came up with scripture, you know, tradition, we said, oh, but why are you talking about a man? But Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Because you see, in the Bible, you actually have to have disciples. So everybody is a disciple of somebody. Of a certain man. John had disciples. Jesus had disciples. The Pharisees had disciples. Who are you a disciple of? You have to be a disciple of some man. Yes. Because at the end of the day, when you are misbehaving, Jesus will not come and arrest you on the road to Damascus like he did to Paul. So a human being who is standing by you has to look at you and say, brother, you are not behaving well. Change your behavior. So that's the kind of person you have to honor. You have to honor him. And you have to honor him as the person whom God has sent to you. I know churches where the impact of the pastor is great within the church because there's a strong maintenance of the appreciation culture in that congregation. The pastor himself may strongly introduce himself and inform the congregation of their need to appreciate and recognize the gift of God, the gift that God has placed in their midst. This is important so that the congregation does not miss the blessings of the anointing. You see, when a prophet comes to you, a prophet is an agent of change. When the widow of Zarephath, who was about to die, eat her last meal, and then when she encountered Elijah the prophet, that was the beginning of, if she had life one more time, she wouldn't starve to death anymore. When Naaman the Syrian encountered Elisha the prophet, his leprosy left him and he could go to public places one more time. His life was changed as a result of encountering a prophet. When a certain widow whose husband was a prophet but didn't manage his finances properly, so he died in debt, the creditors came to take his two sons away. When she encountered Elisha the prophet, Elisha said, what do you have? And then when she gave him what she had, that was the end of her poverty and the end of the sons going into slavery. So a prophet is an agent of change for your life. Now, how will you receive him? Will you receive him as a prophet? And that takes me to the third point. That's this one and the last point that we close. Number three. Your honoring the anointing must be done according to the rank at which you receive. Your honoring the anointing must be done according to the rank at which you receive. Matthew chapter 10, verse 41. He that receiveth a prophet, in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. So what we are saying is this. You can receive him at the level of a righteous man. Okay, he's a nice person. He's good. Okay, he's done some things. He's forced. He's done. Or he's a prophet. Now, according to this scripture, if you receive him as a prophet, the blessings, the power, the anointing that comes because of that prophetic anointing will be received by you. Oh yes. One day a man of God was ministering powerfully. People were falling under the power. Then he turned to some of the other pastors and said, "You see, but if my wife comes and I lay hands on her, nothing will happen." But the wife has not received him as a prophet. She has received him as a husband, which is good. A husband is good, but you can go further. You see, in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 6, we see the servant of Saul making a very powerful statement about Samuel. You know, they were looking for asses, they couldn't find them. That when he got to this place, said, and he said unto him, "Behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man." You see, we are used to calling MPs and other people honorable. But begin to note that a man of God is an honorable man. It's an honorable man. It's an honorable man. It's an honorable man. Oh yes, he is an honorable man. All that is said cometh surely to pass. Now let us go to that peradventure. He can show us a way that we should go. Verse 7. Then Saul said to his servant, "But behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man?" You see, these are people who are trained. Even he's saying that so that when we come to his office next time, please, please, I'm well taken care of. But we are showing you honor, 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 honor. Then he said, "But behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man. What have we?" Next verse. And the servant answered Saul again and said, "Behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way." Beautiful. What is saying? That as I'm going to the man of God, I must bring something. So this is called honoring with substance. Honor with substance. It's one way of honoring. I've told you that there are other ways. By recognizing, by receiving gladly, by changing your behavior. Because Joseph was not used to shaving as a prisoner. But when he heard that the Pharaoh was looking for him, the Bible says he shaved and he went. If people will be honoring husbands, they might also do the same by the grace of God. Hey! Are you with me?
Yes.
Let me go to the fourth point. I think I'll end on that. Number four. Honoring the anointing provokes unspeakable blessings on your behalf. There's a beautiful passage here. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. I want us to read it because it's a lovely, lovely story. And it fell on the day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned him thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, "Behold, now I perceive You see, this is recognition. This is recognition. This is recognition. I perceive. May God open your eyes to perceive that this is an holy man of God which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. And let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. Make him comfortable. And it fell on the day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called there, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. Two serious problems. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. You see, this applies to those of us when we come for conventions. Pagan conventions. And a promise is released. You say, oh, I was even here in the days when Bishop Matthew Diamond came and he said it, but it hasn't come to pass yet. Reverend Steve also came and it hasn't come to pass yet. And even recently, Dr. Kujobot came and it didn't come to pass. But understand the timings and the seasons of God. And when there is a convention and a man of God speaks again, stand up in faith and receive it, because that may be your time to receive. It hasn't happened the first time. It didn't happen the second time. Don't you remember when Elisha was praying and he said, no, he told Naaman, dip 7 times. What if you had dipped the first time? I said, you know, this river, now I'm testing it to see, but I don't see anything. Number two, I knew that this river is not correct. And stopped. He would not have been healed. But when he dipped the 7th time. Oh yes. There's the law of persistent ministrations that are leading to your breakthrough. So maybe this woman had heard from some people. Show us the verse again. She had heard from some earlier prophets. That's why, no, verse 16. That's why she said, nay, my Lord, thou man, do not lie unto thy handmaid. But somehow God helped her to believe. And the next verse, the Bible says, and the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Hallelujah. You are also receiving your miracle as you honor. Oh, let's look at a couple of decisions the woman took. Then we close. Number one, she took a quality decision to honor the anointed. It was deliberate. It wasn't something that just happened. She set things in place. She went to town. She went to Orca to buy furniture. Number two, she began to honor the anointed at a lower level. You know, she first started with a little bed and something before she moved into a chamber with air conditioned in it. Number four, the power of God on Elisha was provoked after he had received the honor from this woman. And then number five, the Shunammite woman received the great blessing of pregnancy even though her husband was an old man. The stark reality of the old age of her husband is mentioned as a great natural obstacle to this woman receiving a miracle child. There was no river too wide, no mountain high, and no distance too high for God's power after the anointing had been on it. 2019, which is like nearly 5 years ago, I went to Bishop Eddie to Tamale. he was preaching a powerful conference, loyalty conference, and I went along to recruit students for Anakazu. Now, when I got there, my hostess and her husband, the hostess had told her mother that I was coming to live in their house. And this woman is a very godly woman of God. She told her daughter that May, okay, I was a bishop then. I was thinking whether that was reverend or bishop. May Bishop Aso's coming be like the coming of Elisha to the home of the Shunammite woman to you. Do you know why she said that? She said that because her daughter had had two miscarriages. She had not married and she had had two miscarriages. So she was looking for a child. So when she said that, and I went in that morning, the bishop picked me from the airport, took me to the house, and we started chatting. And when we chatted that much, she just told me these things. And I remember sensing that I should pray for her. Because usually, it would happen that maybe after you've been hosted, because when Isaac wanted to bless his son Esau, he told him to go and get venison. Because sometimes after being ministered to, that's when the anointing is provoked. But that morning I remember that I had not eaten nothing, but I just felt like I should pray for her. So I prayed for her. Then we went for the conference 2-3 days. And on the last day, the Friday or so, we're coming back to Accra. When the bishop came to my house to pick me, to the house to pick me, we're standing by the car. When the bishop, who knew their problem, told the man and the woman who were all standing by the car, the bishop, myself, and the two, he said to them, if I were you, I wouldn't waste the anointing in the bed that the man of God has slept in. We are talking about honor, honoring the anointing, recognizing that a holy man of God has come to pass through this place. The bishop told them that I will not waste the anointing. You know what to do. So that day, they abandoned their bedroom and went to the bedroom where I had spent 3 days. Because it is real. Because the power of God is real. A year later, during the COVID period, she delivered a baby. Oh yes. Oh yes. Full term baby. The husband called me and said, one of our baby's names is Asumeni. You see, as we walk among you, see, that's why prophets are often itinerant. The reason why prophets are often itinerant is that when you stay too long, the reason why prophets are sometimes itinerant, that is, they move from place to place, is that when you stay too long in one place, decreasing honor happens to you. But I want us today to believe, you see, because I remember when Michael, who has been playing the guitar for years with a bad back, said, Bishop Eddie was ministering, standing here, communion, and he spoke a word. Michael received his healing, and it has been permanent. So anointings abide, anointings are working among you. But if you do not recognize, if you do not perceive, if you do not say, I perceive, like the woman said, I perceive that this is a holy man of God. But I thank God that our prophet, through his book, is teaching us to honor. And I believe that from now on, we will recognize the great anointing on his life that has affected us so much, that has given us a better life. And I believe that we will also recognize every anointing that walks amongst us to honor it. In Jesus' name. Stand to your feet and let's close. Oh yes. You shall be a person of increasing honor. Honor is beautiful for your life, I tell you. Honor is beautiful for your life. It's a great thing for your life. So to honor the anointing so that everything that can come through the anointing will come to you. Lift your voice and begin to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. 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 Lord Jesus, pray that the Lord will help you to recognize the anointing upon the prophet and the founder he has given to us. To recognize it and to receive the blessings, my God. May you be a person of honor, a person who shows honor, a person who recognizes what God has done. In the name of Jesus. Rebusha beleketaya, mandolo busha blandele bekaya mama, isatola baba shebli andele be maya, rakato saba bandele be maya la baba, isatele be bale me minoa, rekandele be bale me minolo bobo. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name. Lift your hands and say, in my life, Lord, be glorified. Be closed. This is your chance to experience Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe as you've been listening to the word of God, you know in your heart, but you don't know Jesus. The Holy Spirit is convicting you. He's speaking to your heart that today is your chance to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So if that is you I'm talking to, lift your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. I need to pray with you today for you to receive Jesus into your heart. It's very, very, very important. It's very, very important to secure your salvation today by lifting up your hand and saying, Jesus, I want to come into my life. If you've lifted up your hand, I want you to take one more step and come right here to the front so I can pray with you. If you've lifted up your hand, please come. Please come. I want to pray a prayer with you. It's your prayer, but I'm helping you. Okay, so bow down your heads and say this after me. Let's all help them. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. I know I'm a sinner, I cannot save myself. Please forgive me. Wash away my sins. Write my name in the book of life. Father, I thank you that today I'm saved. I am born again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, put your hands together. Celebrate with them. The Bible says that the heaven, God is celebrating. Please go with our Pastor Philip. He'll go with you. He'll pray with you. And he'll come back. Oh, put your hands together for the Lord. It's now time for communion. The body of Jesus, broken for our healing.
This is my blood,
the blood of Jesus,
which was shed for you,
shed for the remission of sins.
Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life.
Yes,
for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ,
the body of Jesus. And recognize that Jesus said, this is my body which is broken for you. Now that word broken was used in the book of Isaiah, that he was broken, he was wounded, was bruised. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, those stripes that broke him, healed us. So as you lift up the body of Jesus, it is for your continual healing. You don't have to be sick to be healed. You can walk in health. I'm saying you don't have to be sick to be healed. You can walk in health. So lift up this as your continuous health insurance and God's provision for you to walk in health. Because it is killing any cancer cell that would otherwise have arisen in an obscure part of your body. It is lowering your blood pressure, which would have gone up. It is securing you against disease and against injury. Lift it up and say, the body of Jesus, broken for my healing. Eat it.
The body of Christ.
And as you take in the blood of Jesus, it is dealing with guilt in your life. Any guilt which you still feel about a sin that is long past that Jesus has forgiven you for, today, mention to the Lord. There's a song that says, into the sea of forgetfulness, God, when he forgives your sins, they say he puts your sins into a sea or a lake or a river, and he puts a sign there that no fishing, nobody should come and fish out your sins from there. He says, I will forget your sins. So lift up the blood of Jesus and say, the blood of Jesus, the power to redeem me from guilt. Drink it. Thank you, Father. Jesus said we should eat the body and drink the blood. And as often as we do it in remembrance of him. Jesus, we remember your power. Remember when you walked amongst us on the earth and how you healed diseases and how you raised the dead. We appropriate this power today in the name of Jesus. We are walking out of here with reinvigorated bodies in the name of Jesus. We are walking out of here with normal blood pressures in the name of Jesus. We are walking out of here with stomach ulcers healed in the name of Jesus. We are walking out of here with stress dealt with in the name of Jesus. I destroy every power of stress over your life in the name of Jesus. And I declare that in this place, which is the rest of the Lord, you shall enter into the rest of the Lord in the name of Jesus. May you walk out of here with the rest of the Lord. May you walk out of here stress free in Jesus' name. Father, as we enter the week, we enter in your strength. We enter in your power. Jesus said, be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. In the world you have tribulation. You have stress. You have afflictions. You have disorder. But I have overcome the world. We declare that we have overcome the world in the name of Jesus. We declare that we are world overcomers in the name of Jesus. We declare that we are victorious in the name of Jesus. Because of the body. Because of the blood. Thank you, Father, for peace. We walk in peace. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I am listening.
We believe you have been blessed by this powerful teaching from the Macarius Church headquarters, East Legon Hills, Accra. Stay blessed.
I am waiting.